Just take a minute, okay? You have something to say. I have something to say. All right, so let's just talk, okay?
Let's get it, then.
Quiet down now. It is time to watch the show. Yes, it started. Don't be licking me no more. Matter of fact, could you get me a handy wire?
Can I scream?
With their powers combined, they become pop culture. With their powers combined, they become Jim and Them, the greatest podcast in the world.
Cut some papers, you bitches.
Who's on me? Who's on the fuck on me? You're on WD. Hooray!
This is a comedy show.
And we've taken over the industry. We've taken over the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's make something amazing happen right now.
I'm going to come.
And they call it a mine.
A mine.
I have nothing left except Spider-Man.
There's Corey whining again, huh? It's everybody else's fault. Nah.
I just suck at everything I do. It's a complete mystery why anybody would pay money to see it.
Yo, what it do? Welcome, everyone. This, my friends, is Jim and Them. This is a Corey Feldman show. You are tuned in right now live on twitch.tv.
Yeehaw!
/ Jim and Them. And of course, the Jim and Them YouTube. Shout outs to the motherfucking real ones.
Like who?
In the motherfucking chats.
Name
what
six
do we
of
got?
Them.
What cowards. Do we got? We got
Tug'em Jack. Boom.
We got Chris G. Lynn in the Twitch chat. Ryan LOA. Max Duffy.
Billy Ghost.
We got God Loves You. We got Billy Ghost in the YouTube chat.
I remember liking Billy Ghost's name.
Yeah. Billy Ghost, great name. Great guy.
Great name.
Good dude.
Incredible
name. He's a murderer. He's like a bad guy.
Orbital Trails. We got all the realists of the real. It's a very special episode as you join us here at Jim and Them, because we have the one and only... One of the founders of Real Kid Radio, the mastermind behind We Hit and Run, the IWC's number one public enemy.
Keep going. There's more.
Fuhone. Yeah, the guy you fucked.
White sex
the guy you fucked over. Kelvin Scarpelli himself is in the building.
It's the guy who made the first Jim and Them intro. How quickly we forget.
Oh, that's very true. You know what? The Quiet Down Now.
15 years ago.
I invented this show.
The Quiet Down Now is a Kevin Scampoli pull. He pulled that for the intro.
And
yes.
Don Cheadle, or maybe I...
No, Don Cheadle was me. Yeah, Don Cheadle was me.
Don Cheadle came around and bit us in the ass.
Machine was you. Yeah, that Don Cheadle thing.
I was shocked you used that intro. When I made that, I'm like, I'm just his little brother. And then I felt like the big brother, and used it for a year.
It's a great poll. We've been using it since the beginning.
Yeah,
it's our good old Turk, aka Donald Faison.
Yeah,
because the intro's changed up here and there over the years, but it's always had that.
Yeah,
and it has the beginning of Dance Machine before it goes in. Just a little inside baseball for all the historians out there.
Yeah, hell yeah.
People taking notes. If people don't know, Kelvin Scarpelli, aka Kevin Scampoli. That is my brother. That is my flesh and blood.
Yeah, from another mother?
From the same dead mother and the same dead father.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
But it's almost Halloween, so it's spooky.
They're here.
I just
got
came
me
in.
Bones.
I came into a feast of chicken bakes and double chunk chocolate cookies. And then
That's right. We did record. We recorded what is essentially a part zero that's going to be going on our Patreon where.
Wait. Patreon.com/Jim and Them?
Yeah, absolutely. Patreon.com/Jim and Them. We did every show. We did Scarf Dogs. We were trying some chicken bakes and double chunk. Wait, hold on.
Double chunk chocolate cookies.
And double chunk chocolate cookies.
Yeah. Kevin called you Gino.
Yeah, Kevin called me Gino. People are wondering where Gino is in the chat. Is Gino in our chat or is he still in the Discord? Is he stream sniping right now?
Gino's downstairs.
Yeah. He should be streaming this on my Rumble. So
all right,
this better be simulcasted.
Oh shit, I'll start saying the F slur.
The Gino breathing.
Well, it's great. I mean, It's great that you're here because we get to teach you about Corey Feldman. Now, I don't know how educated you are on Corey Feldman. I mean, we're going to talk about Kevin's big trip that's coming up soon, but you know, we got to talk about Corey Feldman.
Kevin's
first.
Big Trip sounds like a because, movie that Corey Feldman would have been in.
Well, much like how Kevin Scampoli is going international, Loserville, big news this week, Loserville tour. I don't know if you know about the Loserville tour, Kevin, but Loserville was the tour of the summer this past summer. It was Limp Bizkit back out on tour. Oh. Riff Raff was hosting. What was it? Nate No Face was there. Bones was there.
Wow.
And of course, everyone's favorite, America's sweetheart, Corey Feldman, which was, it's a rousing success. So this week, big news. They're like, you know what? We're bringing Loserville to the UK. We're bringing Loserville to England. Let's go, baby.
It's going
to
be a stacked house, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, I'm looking at it
the
right here.
The whole gang is here, right, Jim?
Bones is going to be there.
Nice.
Nate No Face is going to be there. Riff Raff's going to be there. Hosted by John Carnage, whoever the fuck that is.
Okay.
A couple of new faces.
Eka Vandal.
Yeah.
Who else? Karen Dio. I wonder if that's related to the actual Dio.
They all get to hang out with Corey, right?
So yeah, someone tweeted at Corey and they're like, hey, will you be accompanying these fine gentlemen on tour next year, Corey Feldman? Actually, hold on. Let me pull this tweet up for the chat for the big announcement, just so everyone can see the big, great big news going international. And what did he have to say? No.
What?
They're bringing like everybody back. But not America's sweetheart himself, Corey Feldman. He will not be going.
I assume it's because he's busy, not because he doesn't have 20 grand, right?
I think he's got big things going on right
now. I don't think
he can
leave the country. There's big things going on with this Diddy case on there. I just want to know who he would vote for, if you could just scroll up real quick.
Oh, wait. I think we had read that. It's his Yeah. He voted on the 22. He said happy 22 to everyone.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't named who he's voting for. Like, okay. He put a poll up, but everyone's voted Trump.
Yeah.
On his poll. And I'll vote for the person who wants to bring all of us back together instead of ripping us apart. I vote for the choice who knows that every choice we make affects everything around us.
Yes.
I choose the person who cares more for you. And I more for you and I than themselves.
Yeah, the guy who took a bullet for us?
Yeah, yeah. Serbian French
fries.
Well,
he's just going to write himself in.
Yeah.
He's like, me.
Yeah. The Feldman, the leader of the Feld fam.
President Feldog.
So, yeah, that's big news coming out for Loserville because Loserville changed the world this past summer.
It was
summer.
A gift.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's a big mistake not having Corey, though, because who's going to be talking about Loserville with no Corey on there?
Limp Bizkit
fans. Just a bunch of blokes over the pond, across the pond.
But to be fair, I don't think anyone was talking about Loserville. They were just making fun of Corey.
That's true. But then they were... But
think about it. He's been at fucking carnivals and like pumpkin patches playing music for like years, and people make fun of him there too. He doesn't need to be true. Torn with Limp Bizkit.
But I'm just saying. But if you're running your Loserville tour, you want to at least have some of those eyes on it. Maybe that gets a couple like I'll get a FOMO ticket because I want to see what Corey's going to do.
I think he's gotten out of it. It'd be diminished returns at this point. Now they know Loserville and the people that know, and it's like we don't need Corey.
Well, it's weird to have Loserville without the titular guy. I mean, who is it? Fred Durst ain't no loser.
No, yeah, that's the thing. It's ironic for all of them, but not Corey.
Right.
Not Corey. Corey, well, that was his cross to bear.
I mean, there's so much lore, Kevin. That's why he calls it...
Low serve ill.
Like, he won't even call it Loserville because he's that full of himself.
He would never go on a tour called Loserville.
So to him, right. It's...
Low serve ill.
It's the low serve ill tour, whatever the fuck that's supposed to mean.
I like that your point was the old one with Corey Feldman where it's catching FOMO for Corey tickets. Like, yo, you were like, that was your reason we moved on. You're like, well, you might catch a FOMO ticket.
Well, see, I was talking about this a couple weeks ago. After this summer, my brain is completely rotted and warped.
Yeah, your Corey brain.
Not Sunner.
Because I'm like, you know, when the news came out that his ex-wife is saying that he's on drugs, I'm like, why is not everyone not talking about this? He says he's been sober for since 1991.
And we're just staring at you on a bed like, wake up, Jim.
Guys, I think his eyes are moving.
There is.
Well, Corey's just going to show up to the tours. Remember at like Warped Tour where like no-name guys would just be like performing with like an amp plugged into a generator in line and like hoping to sell a demo tape or something. No. That's just what Corey's going to do out front of the Low Surveil UK tour.
Yeah, I mean, I would go. I would have FOMO of missing out on the parking lot party with hosted by Corey Feldman.
Oh, yeah, he has like an organ with a crank and like a monkey.
What do they call the
organ grinder?
It's got a crazy name though. There's the one where you're literally like cranking the bottom. Shit, what's it called? It's got a crazy name.
I don't know.
What's it called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's called
about.
Like a hickory dickory or some shit. Hold on.
Wurlitzer? Well,
real quick, Kevin, what is your knowledge around Corey Feldman?
Halloween 6.
Well, 4. Ooh. Well, no. No. Friday the 13th, 4.
Friday the 13th, 4.
Yeah.
That's all I know. Yeah. And Goonies.
Stand By Me. Do you know Stand By Me?
Oh my God. I grew up on, well, you grew up on it, then I was your brother. So I saw some of it sometimes.
Well, see, this is, I mean, I think you've mentioned this, when we were having our feud for a couple weeks, the end of August and, the back half of August and the first half of September, that was the dark days. That was the Scampoli feud.
A hurdy-gurdy.
Oh, a hurdy-gurdy.
It's a hurdy-gurdy.
What is that again?
It looks like a... it's kind of like a combination of like an accordion and like a violin, but it's got a crank on the bottom.
I'll find a
picture for you. Keep talking about your brother.
Well, Jim, I'm from the golden generation that had Little Giants and movies like that.
Yes,
you had these Corey Feldman movies.
That's right. I had Corey Feldman movies. I know Little Giants because of you, so I always know there's that one time.
Yeah, one time.
There's always going to be that one time.
The guy has the peanut butter and jelly in his helmet.
In a perfect spiral with toilet paper. I mean, that movie has every icebox. Come on,
Moranis.
Yeah, I guess for you, by that
Evening
time,
cowards.
By that time, Corey was making Busted or Meatballs 4. So even I wasn't watching
Rock and
it at
Roll
that
High
time.
School 2.
I like how you paint yourself as like a piece of shit. Even I wasn't watching.
But yeah, during the dark days when Kevin and I were feuding, the late August, early September.
In the shadows, by the way. Yeah. It was a shadow feud.
Yes.
I tried to make it public. I was talking a lot of shit.
I know, yeah.
I'm on Rumble. No one hears it. So I'll say whatever I want.
No. I mean, I think even like your listeners that are tuning in tonight are kind of confused because they're like, wait, don't we hate them?
I thought we hated them.
Don't they fucking suck? Yeah, and
it's a celebration.
I thought Mike was
celebration
trans.
Celebration of life.
I did say I was going to bust heads when I came in here. So yes, it's a little weird.
But instead, he brought us all bottles of wine.
Yep, yeah, bottle each.
The bouquet.
Wait, mine was already open.
Yeah, we all got our... Mike, did you even have a little sip of yours?
No, just for
the celebration?
No, I smelled the bouquet.
Take a sip.
We got water dog for the scarf dogs.
I already told you, I didn't have my decanter. I can't just drink wine without a decanter. Thank you, Jeff.
Stole Jeff's joke.
Yeah. I gave him credit. I immediately gave him credit.
Yeah, I made that joke earlier.
But yeah, somewhere
Mike
along
Mencia
the way,
over here.
I literally finished the joke with thank you, Jeff.
I'm Jeff Rogan.
So somewhere along the way we discovered that I mean, we've been making fun of Corey Feldman for years.
Yeah.
Almost a decade, if not a tiny bit more.
But then we found that people liked that we make fun of him, and so we just ride the Corey train.
It became our identity.
But it's funny because people try to come in and comment and they're like, you guys are just obsessed with him. I'm like, yeah, I am. Obsessed with him.
He's the worst. It's so fun.
Grew up on him. He really did inspire you. And I think now's the time to bring back Miley Cyrus stuff.
Yeah, no, Miley Cyrus was our initial Jim and Them thing. It didn't quite pan out for us. We were like, Miley Cyrus is our star.
But
we're gonna
she panned out, huh? Pansexual.
I didn't know where you were going.
I get it.
But now it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I could see the twinkle in his eye, and so I knew what he meant.
Yeah, she's Asian now.
But, you know, kind of similar to like, you know, like wrestling was your thing. Well, is your thing.
Yeah.
And it became your thing. We were like, all right, well, I guess Corey Feldman's our thing. We're going to dissect this man's life until one day we wake up and there's a headline that he kicked the bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it is the same, like, because Shawn Michaels blocked me and hates me, and now Corey Feldman hates you. So our heroes want us to stop existing.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the only way to live.
But luckily, years earlier, before he knew he hated us, we got all sorts of sound clips of him saying our name.
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah.
Corey Feldman here.
Oh, there was another one where he calls this a great podcast, even though he does have to follow up with, like, oh, I don't know who they are,
though. Also, they're a poo cast.
Yeah. But yeah, now we're known as a low-life podcast of low-lifes.
Podcast of low-life scum.
Yeah, we put it on a t-shirt. You'd be proud. We took his tweet and just made it a shirt.
He thinks that we... he has this sycophant super fan that is like this crazy old lady
that runs his website
that he takes advantage of. And one of our listeners has been trying to buy a super expensive Funko Pop from him and getting Corey to sign it, but she keeps seeing Jim in them. And I think Eric's in the chat. He mentioned earlier that he did hear from Heather that she will under no circumstances sell him a Funko Pop, even an unsigned one at this point.
That doesn't...
But
why?
Because I guess it's the principle. Wow. It's not about the money with Corey.
That's
but
true.
To the point where this lady, she's a weirdo, and she said that she had some sort of emergency accident. And so Corey's making it seem like we, like, sicked our the Jim and Them killer on her or something.
Gave
like
her
that.
A stroke or something. Gave
well, if they sell it to you, that makes you submissive. They're above you. You're
that's
buying
what,
fandom.
That's
merch.
What Mike's been saying.
Dude, Corey even said things. He's like, I love the haters. They can keep putting money in my wallet. And we're like, dude, that's
here's money for your wallet.
And it's not even us. One of our fans wants to buy it so that we can sign it. He's out of the loop and he still won't sign it. But then they think that he is secretly us. And that we made her sick, and so that we're harassing her in her hospital bed. And we're just sitting there like, yeah, man, buy it, we'll sign it.
Well, yeah, and I'm messaging her in her hospital bed, like, I'm going to cut your fucking head off. Yeah. I'm going to cut your head off.
Sending her pictures of dead animals.
Get in there and get you.
I did see someone, I saw someone in the chat a little bit ago mention Red Bar. I was talking to Kevin about this. I am a new Red Bar fan. I'm a recent Red Bar fan now. I know that Jeff's a Red Bar hater, aren't you, Jeff?
Yeah, Red Bar.
Well, you're on the wrong side of history. Like, you like these hack comedians that killed comedy, and me and Jim like the guy saving comedy.
Yeah, we like Red Bar. He's saving comedy.
Kevin just did to you what you usually do to me, where he goes, fuck you, me and Jim.
No, but Red Bar doesn't go after my guys. Who's he going after?
Tony Hinchcliffe, your boy. Yeah. Your boy, Tony Hinchcliffe.
Segura, Santino.
All the guys I love, I don't Santino. Know
yeah. Your boy, Hassan Piker, or whatever
all comedians are on site.
I'm the guy from H3H3.
And comedy just sucks. How do you like it? Like, what's fun? Tell me a funny joke you heard. What's a good joke out
That's
there?
That's not how comedy works.
I don't know. I've
you know that, Kevin.
I like George Carlin. I'm old school. I don't know this new stuff.
But yeah, I'm about 3 weeks into giving it a year.
So wait, do me a favor.
Red Bar fans know
is
what that
Red
is.
Bar a like a network of shows or is it a,
it's a guy.
Show?
It's Hawaii Tom. Mike. I had first heard about him over a decade ago from Hawaii Tom.
Because that's the only time I've ever heard it talked about. So that's why I thought like maybe it's bigger than that now.
He's big, but the thing is, he doesn't want to be big.
It's one dude.
He does it all on his own.
Right.
Website.
What's great, Mike, he isolates himself from others. He wouldn't want to be in a network. He doesn't want friends because it compromises the show. And
very
that's true.
Scampoli.
He would actually, he would probably hate that I'm saying I like him.
Oh,
he'd
really?
Be like, don't try to be nice. You're Red Bar's watching, Jim. Like, he'll still do an investigation on
you're
me.
A target.
You're on fool's notice.
I'm confused about this podcast. Like, the way you described it made it sound like it's like a what do they call it when like
Oh yeah, thank you, Billy Go. I mean, his name's Mike, but he calls himself Mike Redbar.
Like a cult has like a compound. You're just like you're describing like a cultish compound, and not just like
compound
a dude
media.
Who does a show.
Yeah, like he does go after Anthony Cumia.
Does
one
he?
Of Jeff's boys.
My hero.
Yeah, he's always taken out by guys. Santino, Cumia, Schultz. My top five.
Bill Maher.
Well, what's that other one? Lemon Party? Or Yellow
Lemon Party? Lemon Party is so good.
That's
so
I like, kind of goes at
I like
them.
The one guy. The guy that was on SNL and then isn't. I always forget his name.
I hate
Shane
him.
Shane. I like Shane Gillis.
He's unkempt.
Yeah,
he's
I don't great. Think I think Red Bar goes after Shane too.
I like him because I didn't know who he was. Jeff showed me a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, "Oh, this guy's funny."
Tell me a joke. He said, "Tell me a funny joke."
He was all like, "Let's see." He was he was talking about he was talking about Navy SEALs breaking in and killing Osama, but he's like, "But he was like, what if that was just you?" And then like they're just like killing you and like making fun of your corpse, and then like the dog is just like chewing on your body, and then you're just like, "Oh, damn you!"
And then he dressed up as Trump, and Jeff liked it. Come on, guy sucks.
Yeah, Shane Gillis is good.
Shane Gillis sucks.
I do like Shane.
I do the like, red button.
We
like
all Shane. Hate Shane. I don't think Stop red
button. Shane has like the best specials.
But I don't know. I'm
tell me a funny joke.
I'm outside of the politics, so I don't know any of that stuff. So I can just like a guy sometimes.
I just see a fat guy that is part of the generation that killed comedy.
An everyman.
With cowardice.
A.K.A. an everyman.
No, we're He's kempt. So funny. Look at us. You're so clean.
Yeah, we are so clean.
Mike's clean.
It's a fresh jersey I'm wearing.
We Look all got that. A fit going.
I mean, yeah, Gillis has no fit.
That's true.
He just dresses like Louis C.K.
He undeniably has no fit.
Black t-shirt and jeans.
He's funny.
He wears kicks.
He has like Nikes.
Yeah, he's wearing kicks.
Kicks, yeah, he's cool shoe day.
But anyways, I do have some Corey stuff. You know how we do Corey things.
You sounded ashamed of yourself, Jim.
A little bit.
You gotta,
I'm like,
nah, Jimmy, you either got to own it.
He's or trapped.
No, I love it, but maybe I'm like, Kevin thinks this is so dumb. Now
no,
I'm the little brother.
I just said that on Discord. Right. I didn't mean it.
Because now sometimes I'm Jim-timidated. Jim-timidated? What is it?
Jim-timidated.
Jim-timidation?
Or in-jimidated.
Let me help you, Jim. So this is giving you numbers, right? In a lot of ways, Jim and them doing well on YouTube is the... nail in my coffin. So it's the completion of the cycle where I was successful on YouTube and everyone was like, whoa, good for you. Now I'm fallen. I've disappeared. I don't exist. And now you guys are completing the cycle and taking what I have.
You're like, you climbed Everest, but then froze. And now we're like skiing down the mountain on your corpse.
Yeah,
your frozen corpse.
I'm the body you see on the way up to Everest.
Yeah.
And
but the thing is.
And we're like making fun of your dick. Or
no. That's like a mark. Now people use you as a marker on the, we're almost there.
Well, because the inclination though is like, hey, we got to help that guy. But our Sherpa or whatever is like, no,
die.
If you die, if you help him.
Don't touch his body. That body's been there.
I will drag you down with me. Like, can we say nigger on YouTube?
No,
I am on Rumble. I say it all.
It's a different show.
Can I say chink?
No.
We got kicked off.
Please, Kevin, no.
All right. I knew that was had to come.
Hate this site.
But yeah, so what's Corey doing? Corey.
Yeah, move, hurry.
Actually, you know what?
Hurry up.
We're doing a fucking crazy U-turn in a restaurant.
Oh, no, Red Bar's going to get mad at us.
Obama. No, he says it.
Red Bar would love JNT.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, James. Thank you, King James.
Because of Hawaii Tom. Because of that connection, he would treat you like humans, I feel like.
Yeah, Tom loves us. We've gone to theme parks with Tom. What has Red Bar done? Gone to theme parks with who?
I met Tom once, and I was smoking out of a bong, and I went to hide it. He goes, I'm off duty. So he's a good guy. I like him.
Jesus Christ.
He also, I mean, I'll keep this a blind item. There's a guy I know that either used to or has or does work for the FBI. But he still like is all about movie and TV piracy. That's all I'll say. It's a blind eye. I'm like, what certain social media famous FBI agent is kind of cool with piracy? Probably all of them.
I know a potential either in the future or current or previous FBI agent who's good friends with Stitches, the rapper.
Oh, that's right. He's also friends with Stitches.
Since we're all talking about Tom right now, I love that he's like Veronica Mars' dad. He's just a private investigator now.
Yeah.
And he does Facebook ads like, hey, I just found a guy. Like, he'll tell you a
people
case
love
he just
him.
Did.
I know people that don't know me that are like, oh, yeah, Hawaii Tom. And I'm like, what?
He's amazing.
Do you know Chris G. Lynn?
Yes, I know that name. What is he saying?
He's
what
in the
fuck?
Twitch chat. He doesn't like you.
I've seen the name. Sounds like a cunt. I can say cunt on here.
He's worried about Molly.
You get three.
We're getting Molly taken care of.
Yeah, you can
worry.
Blame Jim for Molly.
No.
I mean, I took care of Molly for 5 years, and I didn't have to. And
but
now
that was,
you're throwing her to the
shelter.
Well,
I love that you're saying that, but Molly was your dog. You bought Molly. And what was the other dog?
My dog was Apollo.
Yeah, you bought two dogs. Both of them. But yeah, anyways. Like, you remember
for you.
Do you remember Blossom?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Whoa. Yeah. I love Whoa.
Three dykes.
So
Jesus Christ.
Blossom herself also has a podcast because everyone has a fucking podcast.
Well, she got kicked off Jeopardy because of her problematic past.
Well, didn't she get kicked off Jeopardy for supporting the strike?
It was something. I don't know. I would like to say that it's because of probably a problematic past.
And also, her problematic past.
She wore big hats with flowers on them, which means something.
But this was about a year ago. Our boy Corey Feldman was on the podcast is called Mayim Bialik's Breakdown, which I think it's because she does one of these where it's like a wellness mental health thing where, you know, like we're going to talk out all our stuff or whatever. So, of course, bring Corey Feldman on and have a completely bad opposite read.
Well, because he won't want to like engage in anything that's not positive, and she probably knows that. So her and what, the lead singer of the Wonder Years? And
yeah, I don't know if that's her husband. I don't think it's her husband. I'm not sure.
Anyone who knows the Wonder Years loved the joke I just made.
But well, because they start throughout this interview, they're like, you have such a great handle on yourself. They're you don't just, let things get to you.
They're either out of the loop or they're kissing his ass.
Yes. No, exactly. But anyway, so I trimmed out some clips here from the Mayim Bialik's Breakdown featuring Corey Feldman. This is pre-Funko Pop, so you could guess what he's plugging on this particular.
I can see it right now.
Yeah, you already see it. Kevin, there's such a long lore here with this thing on the desk in front of him.
We know what that is a mile away.
That's his box set that he sells for like $300. It comes with a bunch of DVDs and CDs in there. Oh,
God, it's basically like he had an album a long time ago that he then re-released, and then he re-released again. This is another re-release, but within that re-release is multiple other same re-releases of the same thing.
Well, yeah, Jim, I'm disappointed you don't have time to game like Mike and I because you're cutting clips of this.
No, exactly. That's totally true.
That's why he can't play Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, that's why I'm like missing out on some of the greatest games of our generation because I'm like, okay, what else is going on with the box set? All right, what kind of variant of the Funko Pop do we have?
Me and Kevin against Steam achievements in tight fights in tight spaces. And you're like, oh shit, I got to cut to another Corey clip.
We have Corey Feldman here.
Who's already my best friend, more than yours, so just say I'm winning. Wow.
all right. Wait, people may not know who Corey Feldman is, because sometimes people have
crawled. Oh, Corey must have been so mad at that.
Yeah, you know he didn't like that. But actually, listen to our intro here of how she sets him up.
I'd like to just read a little bit. Corey Feldman began his career. No, I won't
I can
read it
be
like
your
that.
Plumber. find my ad in the white pages.
So Corey Feldman began his career at the age of 3. He was in a McDonald's commercial. I also
whoa! He must fucking be over the moon, dude.
See,
he is fucking full chub right now.
That's exactly what I thought too. So Kevin, the backstory here is we've seen him on other podcasts, and when they mention that he was in the Goonies or in Stand By Me, he always corrects them and is like, I have been working since I was 3. I was in a McDonald's commercial.
I was in the industry for 15 years before the Goonies.
But what I realize is when she's doing this, look, she's reading it off her computer. So you know Corey probably sent over some copy to be like, here's the way to introduce me.
I thought it was Wikipedia. And so at least she gets the credit of reading that. But if she's reading his copy, that's a bummer.
The way I totally think he sent over like, all right, here's my intro. Make sure you hit that I started when I was 3.
And to be fair, if it's Wikipedia, he wrote that anyway.
Yeah, he updated it earlier that day.
McDonald's commercial when I was 11. Nice. Corey has literally been a mainstay in the industry. You've been in over 100 films. Your first leading role, I mean, one of my favorites,
Chick's
was
hot,
The Bad
bro.
News Bears in 1979. You've been in some of the most kind of formative films of a certain generation's life. Gremlins, Goonies, Stand By Me, and The Lost Boys. It's very exciting. In addition, you're a producer. I mean, you do so many things. You wrote a memoir. And you're a musician, which I...
See, now, when she starts getting into all this is why I think he sent over something for her to read. Because it's like no one... Maybe if you're on the wiki, you...
Thanks for making my Friday smiling face with hearts starstruck. You guys rock. Drum class is going great. Yeah.
It's the drumming grandma.
OMA's drum set is coming soon. Winning face with smiling eyes.
Yeah, you missed it, Mike. Life with Gigi let us know last week. She's a grandma that's taking drum lessons, and she just
suck at everything I do.
She surprised her hubby with getting a new drum set.
She's just taking drum lessons?
Yeah, just kicking ass.
Oh, dude, holy shit. Are we talking like marching band snare, drop the sticks and win
she's
a battle?
She's master of puppets.
Whoa, fuck
master.
Yeah.
Master.
Yeah, next she can get a real instrument. That'd be amazing.
Whoa. Whoa. She can start making fun of bass players, though.
Master.
Thank you for becoming a member, Squanchy.
Whoa, I love that drumming issues. Do we call her drumming grandma now?
Yeah, Life with Gigi.
Life with Gigi, and she's like, Oma's got a new pair of drums.
Whoa, hell yeah. All right, I'm there for it. Get double bass, though. Start playing metalcore.
By the way, Jim, shout out Gremlins. So that's what he wants you to mention, not those other movies. Gremlins is the, if he wrote it, Gremlins is the one he wants you to bring up.
Well, he's the kid in it. He's actually the catalyst to Gremlins. He's the one that spills water on Gizmo and basically causes all the problems to happen. Well, his other thing is we watched a podcast with him on it that wanted to talk to him about Stand By Me. It was a 90s podcast, and he immediately was like, I don't want to talk about that stuff. I want to talk about the new
stuff.
Not
in a nice interview way. Very much in a, hey, like, I'm trying to be nice right here. I don't want to talk about that.
He should spend his life talking about Gremlins. Exactly. Stand By Me.
No,
like,
exactly.
What an achievement.
He thinks he's better than... He thinks he's a musician who used to be in movies.
Yeah, he's like Drake.
That's perfect.
Kind of like for many, many years of my life, I knew that you were a musician, but this is something that while many of us knew you acting, you also had this whole musical...
I was working simultaneously in the studio creating music.
This is a big side of your life.
From the beginning, I was always just, you might have known me from films, but my real thing is music.
Yeah,
that's
what I was
doing.
Me and Michael Jackson are basically two peas in a pod.
He's just up like Lil Wayne off lean, 15 hours in the studio, making bad like Michael Jackson music.
Whoa, there's multiple. Look, she has a Love Left 2.1 next to her as well.
Oh, he didn't leave that.
Well,
those aren't free.
I just say it's like when a guy hands you a mixtape, but then goes, "Well, now you have it. You owe me money."
Yeah,
he basically did that. He handed it to her and he's like, "Well, $120.
Where do I send the invoice for the box sets?"
Is your musical side.
All during the pandemic, I was working on this kind of gargantuan mammoth project, which turned into this box set, which is six discs, four CDs, two DVDs, a hologram, a 50-page color magazine.
A couple Tootsie Rolls.
Now in the unboxing, he did an unboxing, and sometimes he'll sneak candy in there. You'll get a Tootsie.
Sticks of gum.
Yeah, Tootsie Roll. Like, literally, a Tootsie Roll fell out.
A Hershey Kiss.
It's great that he's like Taylor Swift. He has different eras. We're like, oh, the box set era. Wait till you see the box set. Sometimes there's a dollar store Ray-Bans.
And how much work, such a gargantuan project of just like gathering my old shit and putting it together in a box.
Re-releasing something for the fourth time. What a gargantuan project.
Well, and one of them is like the songs without vocals. And it's like the karaoke.
The karaoke version.
Yeah,
but they're not karaoke masters.
But... Disc 3 had B-sides. That's where we got Nah Duddy Up.
Nah Duddy Up was on there. That's his Rastafarian Jamaican song.
And he does the accent.
This is a collection, then, of music.
Right. From going all the way back 35 years.
Wow.
So my first album was released in 1993. It's called Love Left. We remixed and remastered all the songs on that album. And while we were going through those tapes, we found a bunch of stuff.
That is the same box set because he doesn't have it in front of him anymore.
Oh, imagine, okay.
Because, I was like, wait, imagine if he gave one away? No, of course he wouldn't. Mm-mm.
Never, ever
released. You literally can't give those away.
So we remixed that too. Exactly.
Also, this box is stunning. Can people get this box, or this
you
is like
can.
A limited
you can
edition?
Get it from it's a limited edition. We only made, I think, 500 of them.
Wow.
There's only about...
Which, by the way, Kevin, he only made 500. He has been trying to sell these things for like seven years.
For years.
They're like 400 bucks.
He still has so many.
Well, he tried to say right here that I think 500. We have like 80 left. There's no way. He has way more than 80.
Well, and it costs like $400.
You can get it on my website, CoreyFeldman.net. It is rather pricey because, as you can see, it's a lot of work.
It's like the whole universe in here.
Yes.
No, it's worth it.
I want to take us back.
It's full
bit.
Of CDs.
Where were you Discs. Born?
Right here.
You were born in
not in your house, but yes.
Nah.
In Encino.
Turning on that charm. Remember how he always comes in with those quick jokes?
I also love that the angle shows that he's got a facelift a couple times. It's a good angle, flattering angle.
This really does look like he has a mask, like kind of like some rope or elastic.
Mission Impossible,
his face
he's about to pull it off.
Yeah, it's that meme where the kid's like holding it in.
the Wojak with the happy face and the crying face behind it.
Okay, for real. What would I do with a bunch of CDs in this day? I couldn't find a CD player if I tried.
Put them in your PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Thank you, Eric.
California.
Really? So you were a Valley kid?
I was born a Valley boy, yes.
Wow. You started acting very, very young, correct?
I did.
You wait, wait. Three. Did his sunglasses just appear back on?
Yeah, and that's not even my edit. That was the edit on their thing. So weird. They must have just did it weird. They nut-duddied up.
That
it.
Was just
Versace.
That was distracting.
When does he talk about his raped friend? That doesn't come up anymore.
Don't worry. That's the
he
beast.
Brings it up all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all he talked about for a very long time.
Yeah, and he and how he's dead now.
Yeah, Haim got raped like crazy, but Corey Feldman couldn't touch him. He's untouchable.
That young.
All of it.
Wow.
Every bit of it. If you read my book, the first page of the book is the first memory I have, which is my first day going to set.
Now, I do have the book right here.
Yes. Okay.
Let's see. I did want to save this. Wait. I was like, you know what? I have the book. I want to check that.
His first memory? It. How old was he?
Three.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any memories before three?
Do you?
I don't know if I have memories from when I was three, though.
Oh, I have memories from when I was...
Or maybe I do, but I don't know that I'm three.
I have memories from around my second birthday.
Huh.
Yeah, I saw
his second birthday.
Yeah, I was somewhere between two and three.
I think it's bizarre. I know Jake Sprague's first memory, but not mine.
Yeah,
he jumped over a log, right?
A slug.
A slug.
Yeah, you're close.
Hey, if anyone out there knows Spraggles, the Pokemon guy.
Yeehaw!
If you're in his chat, ask him about how he jumped over a slug and if it's his first memory. Let me see. First page of his book. He was supposed to be at the dentist. I've got a problem with this tooth, he'd said when we spoke on the phone that Monday afternoon. It fell out again, man, but the soonest appointment I can get is a week and a half away. He was plagued by problems with his teeth. Decades of drug abuse had rendered some of them loose. Do you think this is Haim that he's talking about?
Yes.
This is his first day.
Because it's not flattering.
So yeah, he's a liar, if we could point out.
Yeah.
First page of my book, it's my first memory.
Read the whole thing.
But it is classic Corey Feldman at the first page of his book be him talking shit about Corey Haim.
Well, it's funny because you would assume maybe, he's putting himself on blast, but I bet he's putting Corey Haim on blast.
He would never.
Although, I guess this is the introduction. Do you think the introduction does not count as
probably
the first?
Doesn't count.
All right. If we go to chapter one, to be fair, I'm 3 years old.
Okay, all right.
I'm three years old, sitting at the small round breakfast table in our tiny kitchen, eyeing a half-open box of cereal. There's a toy surprise buried somewhere inside.
Half-open.
And I'm itching for it. I bounce my feet impatiently atop the wooden rung of my chair. Feel a cold dribble of milk slip across my lip and down my chin. As consumed as I am by the prize.
Wait. What a
Did
writer.
Did he drop milk on his nose? No,
he was eating too fast.
Mike, this is how writers see the world. Okay?
Yeah. Was this Bukowski?
As consumed as I am by that prize, however, I sense there is something different, something even more exciting about today. It's still early morning in the San Fernando Valley. The sun is streaming through the little stained glass window above the doorframe, casting a rainbow of shadows across the linoleum floor of the foyer. But the whole house is already buzzing with energy. Booby, my childhood nickname for my mother's mother, is a slightly more anatomical version of the term Bubby.
You're saying it like the diehard.
Bubby.
I'm your white knight.
I'm your white knight.
Grandma, Bubby. Yeah.
What would baby Corey sound like?
Grandma,
Bubby. What am I excited about? Today's your first commercial. My first commercial? It's spelled that way.
That's just how he types now.
I ask between bites.
Commercial?
The things before cartoons on TV?
This poor kid.
Yes, now finish your breakfast, please. You don't want to be late on your first day. So yeah, there you go. It is his first day. Outside the introduction that buries Haim before we get into
teeth falling out, asshole raped to shit.
Teeth falling out, homo ass.
Piece of shit, going with Dennis.
Bro's hair not even looking good.
Dead ass.
Me, immaculate in my jimmies.
My first memory literally is waiting at the kitchen table, eating cereal, and my grandmother showing
half
up
open,
at the door,
right,
knocking on the door.
He did the research that a radio station does on him. Oh, first page. So you as a baby.
Took me to the set, or she was taking me to the set while my mom. No, but I'm pretty sure my mom was with me on that first day.
were you a precocious child? Were you, did you like attention? Were you cute? Like, what was it?
I mean, yes and no. I did like attention. I
was
a bit of a ham. I
loved attention.
But I also lived in a really abusive household where you couldn't be a ham and you couldn't speak up and you couldn't do those things. So it was almost like, hey, here's a way you can use that energy. This is a funnel for you to get that out, you know?
Yeah, of course. He's abused by his parents.
Said,
like I was like, here's my first memory. By the way, I was in an abusive household, so I guess I also remember that.
Yeah. Don't forget. Yes, I've been working in Hollywood since I was three, but I was abused.
Remember me saying anything about my backstory is like akin to the Joker telling you about his backstory because I'm a constant liar sociopath.
That I didn't have a normal life or the option to have a normal life. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is that when you work so young, and your life is dedicated to the point where you're already kind of seen as famous before you're even famous, before you even know what that is, before you know what your own name or worth or value as a human is. The problem with that is you can't get fame and then decide, okay, now I don't want it anymore. It doesn't work that way because now people point and laugh at you. People look down at you because there's this like
podcast turn you into their identity.
Goes on with people.
Jim and them talk about you every week. Well, what he's because I to a point I get what he's saying. I understand. I always thought about that of like, oh, you know those people that were like super famous and they go away. Like, what if you do run into them and they're just like parking your car or something like that? It would be weird.
Well, it's like the guy from Fresh Prince. Wasn't he like bagging groceries or something?
Yeah. Oh, there was a story like that, right?
Like someone of that era or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like
from the Cosby Show
or
something
like
that.
Yeah, maybe the Cosby Show was like, hey, I was an actor for a while, and then now I have regular jobs. It's what I am.
Because the other thing, because there are plenty of people that do just stop acting and do other things. But it's funny because he's like, now they're just going to point and laugh at you. But it's like he does the most things to only elicit. The only thing that it would elicit would be pointing and laughing.
Yeah. Ridicule is all he's good for.
Well, they go, oh, you're working at Blockbuster now and you used to be famous? Loser.
Right.
And you're disregarded as like a loss. Like your life is over. You're worthless. And that's the guilt that's put on you. That's the guilt that's put on top of you the second you walk out of that hit show or the second you walk away from that, you know, series of films or whatever it is.
Right.
So you can't just stop. You'd like
unless you're her, who was on Big Bang Theory for, 12 seasons, and she's a fucking millionaire?
Well, but also, she was on Blossom. That went away, and then she just went away and went to school and all that shit. Yeah. She just did regular things.
What, I'm going to get a job? The guilt.
And why would he want to stop? Why would he want a job? Like, Shane Douglas works at Target. That's not better.
Does he really work at Target?
Well, he did. He probably lost that job.
Yeah,
so it's probably worse than that now. And it's like, no, you don't want to stop to work at Blockbuster. You don't want to stop to work at
He's pitching Target. It in this way of like, oh, I wish I could go have a normal life. I wish I could just go work at Blockbuster, but everyone will point and laugh.
He tries to go work at Blockbuster right now.
What the hell?
He's like Joey Ryan becoming a skipper at Disneyland, and everybody just like reports him, and he just gets kicked out.
I would love to run into Shane Douglas at Target.
And Corey, we wouldn't laugh at you if you got a real job. We're laughing at you because of your shitty music and what you've chosen to do.
Exactly. Well, because, I mean, I don't know if I'm sure maybe you've seen some of his stuff. I'm not sure if you're aware of like how he just tries to be Michael Jackson at every chance he gets.
Well,
like,
that's all the music stuff I've seen from him is him doing Michael Jackson crotch grabbing. But this was years
ago. Bad costumes and dancing. He still does that.
Okay.
And he does the singing like
the voice, right?
Yes, yeah. He does the Michael. And he does like in a way, like he has this story about one of his original songs. And he's like, Michael Jackson was like, Corey, this is a hit. Let me bring this into Sony Music. And I was like, no, I want to do it on my own, Michael. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you get this bullying that happens from the world at large. That,
poor guy.
Oh, well, you're no good anymore. Sorry, I guess you just blew it. You know, you're over with.
Oh, going back to his look, though, I got to go with the black spiked hair over his blonde spiked hair right now.
Well, he looks better with short hair than long hair regardless.
Yeah, that's true. We can all agree on that.
Yeah. But there's something about the blonde spiked hair. He looks like that guy from Buffy or whatever.
Spike. Yeah, he does kind of look like Spike.
He looks like Angelus now. I'm loving the aviators.
He has fake sideburns. We're convinced those have to be fake.
Yeah,
look at
they're
them.
Fake.
They're stick on.
When his hair's long, he looks like the guy from The Room.
Yeah, he does.
And so he needs this hair. This is better hair for him.
And so I couldn't let that happen.
Right.
Yeah, but the other one, he looks like he's in the Offspring.
I kept working. Yeah. I kept working. And here we are 50 years later, and I'm still freaking working.
So
I don't have friends. Everybody hates you.
I don't have friends. Everybody hates you.
They don't really.
That I did cut.
Jim of them hates me.
Realize they're jealous of you at that age. They just think that you're an ass or whatever, right. And they don't like you.
Right.
You know, you think you're special.
For no reason.
It's that. when in fact, I was not that guy. I was a very sweet kid. I had good intentions, and I you know, would have loved to have.
What's
more
the other thing in front of him
as a kid? But unfortunately,
the love thing.
No, the looks like a book sideways, maybe, or a DVD case. Or something.
I think that's probably from the box set. That's one of the DVDs because it looks like it says "Love Left" on it.
That's what it looked like. Yeah. And I was like, does he have another thing that we don't know about?
That's one of the fucked up CDs in there. It's all scuffed.
It's just CDRs written with Sharpie.
Wasn't there. I did make friends in my neighborhood. You know, I lived in a cul-de-sac when I stayed at my grandmother's. So that's kind of one of the reasons I like going to my grandmother's. Aside from not being abused on
cul-de-sac.
A daily basis. That
Jesus.
Was she also in the valley?
Bro. She was in the valley, and she was not, you know, she was not in any way abusive. My grandfather was abusively.
All right, this word abuse. Is it real, or is it like our life? Like, well, what's abuse to him?
I think with him, because we haven't watched it on the show yet, but I did pull clips for like an upcoming show from back in like the 90s. He was on Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and him and his sister were on there talking about their parents. I think to them, it's more like
spanking.
Not even. Like, maybe it's a lot of yelling, or maybe they're trying to say they were manipulated because they were pushed into showbiz. And it was like, you better go in. You
not
better go
good,
in.
Yeah. But not like as
but
bad
not
as
like,
maybe he's
when you're just throwing abuse, the word abuse around.
You would think he would be worried about all the times he got raped in the ass.
So, well, he didn't. That was
well,
Haim.
That's what
you're
abuse
him
is.
Up with Haim.
So like half of what a pageant kid went through, like barely. Yeah. So abuse is beating, fucking, fingering. It's not tone of voice, and it's not make money, not be famous.
Obama. Courtney's fit versus the other two on the podcast.
It's true. He does look like he's in Yakuza.
Well, his parents are always looking at him being like, Corey, get money. Get money,
he
Corey.
He pulls that shit off. He has a big fish tattoo.
Yeah, giant dragon tattoo on the back. Oh, Corey, the man with no name. The man who lost his name, Corey Feldman.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I could find specifically like what he says about his dad or whatever, but it mostly just comes up with him talking about Corey Haim. But I think it was, like that, and I think they took his money. I think that was a big one, too.
Yeah, that sucks.
Give me my money.
Just give me my money.
Give me my money. I guess you would say these days. But he was, he was raised in the days when...
Oh, this is great. Yeah, he's talking about his grandfather, and his grandfather, he says, was abusive adjacent.
Yeah, he's on the spectrum of abuse.
I think I'm that.
Everybody beat their kids, and that's just the way it was. So he was beat badly by his father. He beat his children badly.
Right, hurt people.
But when
hurt.
It came time to raise the grandkids, he tried not to do that.
Right.
So there was only one time he was really physical with me. So I did feel that was a bit of a safe haven. Even though he had a tendency to violence, he was able to refrain it. He just yelled a lot and made me think he was going to kill me all the time, but he didn't actually go through with it. Whereas my mom actually go through with it and had no limit.
Okay, maybe
to
his mom did beat him up.
To it, you know.
Right, but he's implying his mom was ready to kill him.
I mean, imagine day in, day out with little Corey.
Yeah. What is this, mom, like Michael Jackson, just leaving him for dead?
Yeah, like what weapons would she use that he thinks death is near? Like we got spatulas.
Yeah, we had spatulas or like the little wooden spoon type thing. Well, we get like spankings with those.
She'd do the thing with the katana where it's like she'd look like she barely took it out, but then something next to him would like become sliced. Right. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah, put fireplace billows up his ass. Filled
rigorous
him up.
Emotional time. And also, you know, we were young people.
Our mom
and
was abusive
at a time when
But then it is kind of a little bit what he's talking about. It is like diminishing returns, because our mom would spank us and maybe sometimes get a spatula or a wooden spoon, but like from the stories she would tell, like her dad would like beat her with a belt, like that type of
still
it was
same.
Like
that's
it
the
was
same
like diminishing. I think I wouldn't want a belt.
Well, wooden spoon style. You really felt like, I remember running from the wooden spoon, and I'd like get on, we had a bigger bed on the bottom bunk, right?
Yeah,
so I'd tuck into the corner so she couldn't reach me.
It'd be
and
tough.
She would make me come here. She would come here now or it's going to be worse. So I would actually go to her to get beat.
Was it always worse, the anticipation, than the actual beating? Was
no,
the beating bad?
The beating was the worst. Those spoons
was the not beating bad, or was it the beating bad?
I don't know. I got spanked, but I think I got regular spanked.
Now, we had a... You reminded me of the bunk bed. The bunk bed was so key, because,
you tried to hide in between.
The bottom bunk was like... like almost a queen size kind of, so it like went out more than like it was like a double for the top bunk, so you could go deep in there, and if someone's trying to reach in, they're trying to get you.
You're just Matumbo in the paint. You're
it's like the Lost World, Jurassic Park. You're behind the waterfall with the T-Rex.
But to what end? Eventually, you're forced out, right?
Yeah.
And when you look in her eyes and she says, "Come here," you feel like I showed her it's going to be worse.
Yeah, it's going to be worse.
Like, I better come there and get hit with the spoon.
Well, I've mentioned this. I guess now that we're talking about our earliest memories, maybe this couldn't be my earliest memory, but I mentioned this on the show, or even on maybe if I was on TWFS before. One of my early memories, though, is we were camping, not the butchie camping, but a different time camping, and I was being chased by my dad because I did something, and I ran into the car, and I closed the door, and he was reaching in the window to try to get me, and I rolled the window up on his arm, and his arm was stuck. It was like a horror movie. I was like just out of reach. He's like swinging around with his arm stuck.
My fucking World War Z.
How does every camping trip end with him chasing you?
Because my dad would take us on a camping trip and get blasted, wasted.
Get off the port wine.
I'm over here. Like, I remember my first memory was my mom was making cookies. Let me lick the batter off the spoon, then I flipped the spoon over and started pretending to be Billy Idol. And then we had a fun night.
Jim's first memory is the end of Friday the 13th. His dad coming through the window like,
Well, Jim also referenced the Butchie camping trip, and that ended with me and Butchie drunk chasing you with rocks.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing you way off running away scared, and I was laughing my ass off as Butchie was like, "We're going to kill you," or whatever.
Just to set up, for people that don't know, people probably heard this before, but Butchie was our uncle. What was his real name?
That's such a great
Harold.
Such a great East Coast uncle name, Butchie. Uncle Butchie.
Because our grandfather was Harold, and then he was Harold, so they called him Butchie.
In my mind, he just looks like Don Vito.
Well, it's weird because, not to interrupt your story, everyone seems to have nicknames like Poochie and Ricky.
And Riggy.
All these. It must
Pocky.
Is that Italian, or I don't know what that is?
That's just like East Coast old days. But
small town.
Gangbanger.
So,
shit.
Our dad and the uncle on our mom's side were like hanging out, and they decided to take the kids camping. So they brought me and Kevin out camping, and they get there, set up the tent, and my dad's like, "Oh, I got a date. I'll be back later." he leaves.
He's like, "Fucked a prostitute."
So go get some schniz or whatever.
You know what? Butchie got wasted.
And then our Uncle Butchie just drank himself to oblivion.
He's like tying you guys to like a spit about the fire, like Han Solo.
Dude, the beginning
of
that was probably so wholesome, too. He's probably like, "This is great."
No, it was. It was a good time.
Getting a little warm from the whiskey, and you're like, "Man, we're making memories." And then it ends with, I'm gonna kill you.
He got so drunk, and then he passed out in the tent. And Kevin and I are like hungry. We're like,
he catches fire like Hereditary.
Well, didn't you have to hide in the woods for a while?
Well, yeah, but this the build up initially that we were like, the campfire's going. I'm like, I must be 8 or 9, and Kevin's 3 or 4. And our uncle's passed out in the tent, and we're like trying to find food.
We're trying to forage berries. Then leaves that look wet, and you're like, "I don't know, maybe this works."
You have a backwards hat with a pinwheel on it. Kevin has a single
a diaper
hair and a tooth. Like
Kevin's dressed like Donald Duck, in a sailor's outfit.
I'm Maggie. So, I have a pacifier.
Uncle Butchie.
So something happened.
So did the tent collapse?
Yes. This was a big tent. It wasn't one of those like round circular ones that have like plastic bars. It had like these metal bars holding it up, and as we were like looking for food, we knocked it over and the tent fell on Butchie.
Oh, no.
But he was still passed out, and we're trying to put the tent back up.
I'll never forget. We were scared because we thought he'd wake up.
Dude,
and
again,
be
it's like in Scream when the Scream killer's passed out and you're trying to like get by him without waking him up.
A tranked dinosaur is right there, and you're like, "Oh, I need to get by and
turn
the power."
The car keys are on right above him.
Yeah, they're in his pocket.
So we're like gently trying to put the tent back up as Butchie's passed out, and I think it like fell again and it woke him up.
He's tying a rock to a stick like it's a survival. Scrabble game. He's chasing you around. With
you got a picture. It's almost like when a pool's covered. If there's a body floating, it's a tent collapsed completely and just a shape of a body sleeping. And we're freaking out. Like, is it gonna get up? What's going on? I'll never forget that image.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, then he, like, we woke him up, and then I just started running, because I was like,
hold on, you already knew.
You just left, Kevin.
I thought this was I thought the tent collapsed. I thought he passed out after we chased you, and then the tent collapsed.
Oh, maybe I'm misremembering, but I thought this was the catalyst. I could be wrong.
I was three, so I don't trust me.
So, but then, yeah, it turned to the point where, yeah, he's trying to chase me through the campgrounds, but Kevin's so little.
Well, out of curiosity, why? Just because of the tent?
I can't remember. Maybe Kevin's right. Maybe it was something else. Maybe I was being a wise ass.
I feel
remember.
Like it was daytime when we chased you and nighttime when he was passed out.
Yeah, you could be right. Actually, yeah, maybe something else. I was being a wise ass because either way, he was wasted.
Yeah, he was wasted.
And he was pissed at me. And so I just booked it. And he was chasing me. There's other campsites set up.
Normal people.
Normal people camping. And he's chasing and yelling. And he's got chunks of wood from the...
I thought we had rocks, but maybe wood. I don't know.
Yeah, these were big stumps from the fire. They weren't on fire, but they were there for firewood.
Like he's a Lord of the Rings orc, picking up whatever's nearby.
He was throwing them.
Yeah.
He was throwing them through the woods at me. They were smashing onto trees.
he's like a Lord of the Rings troll.
Yes.
Well, you're literally like a Friday the 13th just dead teenager because you're about to get to the rich camp and you're just far enough away where they can't hear you screaming.
This is
what hurt me the most is because I turn around as I'm being chased. Kevin's only four, so he doesn't know what's going on. Kevin's got a twig in his hand and he's chasing me too. He's following the mob mind, the mob mentality. Because Kevin's laughing, and I'm like, no, Kevin, this is not a good thing.
Kevin, I need help.
Well, this was my revenge on, like, my big brother, who always gets to play, like, the video games first, and I got to wait. Or, like, my big brother gets to do everything. Now I'm attacking him.
Yeah, let's chase him on a stick.
I'm having fun, and he's not.
So, you're right. This did happen before, because this was daytime. I'm being chased through the campgrounds. And then, I hid in the woods. And you're right. I came back, and Butchie was passed out in the... in the tent, and four-year-old Kevin's sitting by the fire, kind of like an old hobo or something. You know what I mean?
Got his toe sticking out of his boot.
I think he's got like ash.
A can of beans.
He's got like ash all over his knees and shit.
Wearing a top hat that's like peeling up like a can. You. Yeah.
And then we knocked over the tent. We're trying to put it up. And as we're trying to put the tent back up, okay, now I remember correctly, the cops came.
This is the weird part. I remember our grandmother picked us up.
And the cops.
It was weird because I never saw her outside of the house she lived in. So to see her in the real world was weird to little Kevin. But also, to be saved, basically.
Someone finally called the cops, and I don't know, they looked up who registered the campsite or something, because they somehow showed up with our grandparents.
Wow.
And they like took Butchie away.
This guy's too drunk to camp.
And we never got the tent up, so the tent still collapsed on him, and he's sleeping, passed out in the tent, I assume, when the cops came as well.
They just roll him up like he's in a carpet.
Slam him against a tree. All right, we've seen enough.
They just broke.
Yeah, it's like Jason just whacking him.
Yeah, they just push him into the lake.
They say sometimes on a night like this, the ghost of Butchie will chase you around the forest.
But when our grandparents showed up, it must have been, now it was just two hopes. It was now a 9-year-old Jim
and
4-year-old Kevin. We're just covered in soot,
making s'mores.
We're all coal miners, basically.
Like a couple lost boys.
Where was your dad? Fucking some white snake lady.
No, exactly. Yeah, he was out banging some broad.
We never saw him again that day, did we?
I don't think so. Maybe the next day.
You guys
day.
Have fun. I'm gonna go fucking rail a whore. Smoke some bones.
Anyways, abusive parents, Corey. What do you got to say?
Yeah, they yelled at him sometimes. They're like, get to acting.
Drugs looked very different.
We were able to experiment, and it wasn't life or death. They would tell you it was life or death, which was...
Thank you for being a member, Hugh.
I always said one of the problems with the anti-drug message was that they lied to kids. You know, they would tell kids, if you do this drug, it's going to kill you. And then they would see their friends do it, and it didn't kill them. And then they go, well, you're lying to me. Just like Santa Claus, you're lying to me.
Well, it was also the equating of, let's say, they sold. I was part of the DARE program.
So, Blossom, who molested you?
Where's your breakdown coming from?
Right.
Also Canadian. Yeah,
I was not just part of it, but I was the guy that was the head. I don't know if you remember this.
I love your ponytail.
I was the head of an organization called Hollywood kids say no to drugs.
I remember this, Corey.
What's great is him talking about this. This is literally the Saved by the Bell episode is based on him, is it? You remember that episode, Kevin?
Yeah.
When they bring the hot young actor that's like running the dare thing.
And he's on drugs. Bathroom, yeah.
Yeah, is he on drugs or just smoking?
Zach catches him. I think Zach and Slater catch him smoking in the bathroom.
He's on dope.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Is this the same episode from the caffeine pills?
It's a different one.
Better one.
Because I still remember because then they decide to change the commercial.
Yep. They rewrite it themselves without him.
They bring in the head of NBC. He's like, I'm the head of NBC, Brandon Tartikoff. Got a great idea for the new fall season. Say no.
Yeah.
And because I remember I was reading the late night book about the late night wars, and it was Brandon Tartikoff. And I was the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Because I think I remember he comes back in like, okay, guys, you ready? And they're all just kind of like no selling him. And he's like, wait, but come on, Kelly, you want me here. Zach, really? And then he's like, I don't need
it's
you guys. And he like
Jim
storms
and
off.
Kevin on a show again. Love you all.
Sonic Gino. Is that the Gino?
Gino. Remember the Saved by the Bell with the oils? They were going to build oil and there was a spill and it killed the duck?
Yeah, the poor duck.
Oh, no.
And then Zach squirted oil on people to show how bad it was. And they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they found oil on the school grounds and they were going to like redo the school.
They were going to Beverly Hills.
Thank you, Gino.
Hillbillies, whatever.
Remember when Zach kissed Lisa, but then they never talked about it ever again?
Those are classic. I wish shows would do that more. Just do a one-off episode.
Just go fuck it. Cannons out the window.
Remember Showgirls?
We're probably there.
It's probably there.
I would almost imagine you with a sweater on.
Yeah.
Being part of, do you remember the guy Steve who was the head of
this Blossom Lady in the hot tub scene in Showgirls?
And it was everybody.
Imagine Blossom all fucked up on coke.
Oh, yeah. She's just doing all the coke with her big Jewish stones.
Blossom Sean sucks. Astin, it was his brother Mackenzie.
Yep. Oh my god.
You know, Mino and Soleil were there.
That's right.
Yeah, Roy, fucking
Hellrel,
Smiley Jack.
Smiley Jack and Baby Jay. Remember them?
Ghostface.
Needles was always hanging around.
We couldn't get rid of Needles.
Very anti-drug. I was very serious about that. I hated drugs. Mm. I saw what they did to my mom. I was never a fan. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was always smoking weed. So I was like, well, I guess it's okay because ever since I was 7 years old on the set of Bad News Bears, my dad was smoking weed.
Right.
Every time I'd get in the car, he was with some of the producers smoking weed. So I thought, this is fine. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
And so I'm often asked, and especially after people would die, it was often like, oh, this publication wants to know how you made it out. And why do people do drugs in the industry? And why are
was
all these
kids? Was she a big druggie?
Like
did I not know this?
Well, I wonder if they're just asking her, like, maybe
because she
isn't.
Because she was a child star?
Yeah, but it's more about child stars and less about, like, hey, why didn't you wind up like them? Yeah.
I was never offered drugs. Nobody thought I was cool enough.
Well, she had a good male role model in Joey Lawrence. That's why.
Yeah. Joey Lawrence must have done drugs, though. He must have had imagine being at a party with Joey Lawrence.
He just diddled all of his brothers.
He's just fucking dancing.
He jerked all of his brothers off.
No.
Even the youngest?
Not the one from Boy Meets World.
Both of them.
But I know you are.
I want to hear your answer.
Well, no, but I'd like you. I'm going to ask you to go first because.
Well, I did go first. I put out a documentary.
Ooh.
And a book.
Where it happened to the documentary?
It's in the box set.
Such You'd think it'd be in the box set. No. The only way you could watch this documentary is on our YouTube channel with our commentary.
You literally can't find it anywhere else.
Well, that's one of his classic things, too, where he pretends he's joking, but he's being a dick during the interview.
Yeah.
Where he's like. She's like, well, I'm not going to answer. I'm going to ask you this question. He's like, how about you answer?
Well, and this is classic feel the room because he wants to make sure that whatever she says, he either agrees or one-ups.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Tell me about your spiritual side. Were you always spiritually inclined?
Always.
I mean, you were raised Jewish. I knew that. I mean,
I used to get on my hands and knees. Like, my grandmother would come in the middle of the night, and I'd be praying on my hands and knees, and she'd go, what the hell are you doing? I'd say, well, I'm praying. She said, but that's not how we pray.
Hmm.
I said, well, it's how I pray.
Wow.
You know, I don't know why.
Was that a wow?
What did you pray for as a child?
We prayed on all fours like a homo. Trying to pray.
Joey Lawrence would walk in and see me praying and be like, whoa, what are you doing? That's not how we pray. Whoa. What are you doing down there?
I like how Joey Lawrence is kind of like our BAM a little bit. It's like...
It is.
Oh,
Corey's praying.
Whoa, whoa,
we're stuck in a
wall.
Whoa.
I used to pray for my own selfish means. Seriously. I mean, I used to be like, you know,
seriously,
God, please give me this, or please don't let this day be so bad, or, you know, please take care of me, protect me, watch out for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays, since getting sober, I learned that, you know, it's best to pray for others and not pray for yourself, because praying for your own selfish means tends to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But when we pray for others and we pray selflessly,
it goes somewhere,
you know, hoping that God protects my family.
He ignores stuff about me, but if I say it about other people, he's like, "Oh,
yeah." I started wondering why if things were always going good for everyone else, and I realized it's because I'm praying for him.
No one, but why will no one pray for Corey Feldman?
The only way things could be going good is because of me.
My life sucks. Everyone else's is great.
Pray.
Must be my prayers.
Pray for me. You're welcome, everyone.
The rule of prayer.
That, you know, this kid who I know who has cancer is okay. You know, those are the things.
This kid
that
I knew
who
had cancer is okay.
And I think that when you're selfless. Yeah.
You know, he's so not good at trying to portray himself as like a good person that he has to be like, yeah, I pray for other people, like some kid I know that has cancer.
Someone I just made up. Yeah. Other people.
Hey, God, could you take away that kid's cancer? I was just thinking about him. Thanks, God.
He's just on all fours.
Hey there, old timer. What do you think we could do about this kid with cancer, huh?
My wife, she wants 5K. Could you just strike her down, Lord? Kill her?
If selfish and you give back instead of taking all the time, that things just tend to work out for you. You know, I've been through hell the last 5 years, and many people have sought to make sure of it, but somehow I've ended up on my feet.
What's funny,
every
Kevin,
time.
Is he
There's
hasn't been through hell.
Yeah. Yeah, no, what he's referring to, though, he gets into it. There's this thing. Oh, this is actually wrestling related, kind of.
Ooh.
He has this. He always talks about this group of people that was trying to take him down. They're called the Wolf Pack. The Wolf Pack gets together.
He thinks we're a part of it, by the way.
Yeah, he thinks we're a part. And we kind of are. We've had Wolf Pack people in our...
We're friends with them,
yeah.
But we are not them.
Well, we're the new leaders of the Wolf Pack.
We're like
an affiliate.
We're like the red shirt Wolf Pack.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, the cool ones.
We're the new face of the Wolf Pack.
I'm La Parca and the LWO.
But he had this story about how he was stabbed by someone in the Wolf Pack, like... They pulled up in front of his car, and he had to stop, and someone ran and pulled the door open and stabbed him. And the cop, like, he's filming this in the hospital, and they're like, can we see? And he's like, yeah. And, like, he shows this, like, little dot that he has on his... on his stomach. Like, it's all phony shit. Mike's still cracking up.
He loves the LWO.
I love when Jeff does La Parca dance.
I'm a big La Parca guy.
So one of my favorite things Jeff does is La Parca dance.
I'm in the Filthy Animals.
I'm in the New Age? What were they? What were the not New Age?
New
Age
Outlaws.
No,
it's
what
you.
Was Vince Russo? The New
the
Oddities.
New Bloods.
Yeah, yeah, the New Bloods.
I'm in the Oddities. Yeah, I'm a big Russo.
We're the Millionaires.
I'm the Blue Meanie. I'm voting for Kamala. Blue Meanie.
I'm in the Nation of Domination.
The Nation.
I'm Daphne.
The Nation tried to kill me a couple times, and the fact that I survived those things is
the stabbing where they couldn't find a wound.
There's no other explanation other than the fact that I know that my path is
smaller than like a bug bite. Mm-hmm. Kevin,
yeah,
it was like
it was
nothing.
Literally nothing. Oh my God. It looked like a freckle.
We talk a lot about reactions.
Who am I?
And Mime and I
finally this guy can talk.
Yeah,
become more aware of how we react, why we react. Any insight? You seem like you're constantly self-reflecting. Any insight that you want to share?
Again, what a bad read.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, even when you're talking to Corey Feldman, he's lying directly to your face, being like, wow, this guy really self-reflects. This guy really has a great head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, how could someone take this podcast seriously that is essentially trying to be about, like, wellness and mental health? When they have a crazy person right in front of them,
right?
And they're not reacting to it. Yeah.
But as the foremost experts on Corey, one thing we've learned is that people don't know any better. They just go like, I remember him from movies.
Mm.
Surely he wouldn't just lie to us. Like, he must just be, I can trust this man. But then it takes that little bit of digging to find the what's underneath the surface.
Or I think they realize they're as full of shit as him.
Yeah.
And it's like, would we have ever done this knowing this is what it would become?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's
we can't call him out on it because then he'll just point back at us and we're just as flimsy.
Yeah. Plus, like, we don't have the balls to actually try to call someone out and really press them on the shit, on the bullshit that they're saying.
Yeah, buy this box set.
Yeah, buy the this box set's amazing.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
The music's great. Wow, this is
35 years?
People could buy this?
We sort of do a little moment of like realizations. Anything that you've realized recently that you're like, something that you're working on.
Nah. Every day. I mean, there's never... I don't feel like... Do we ever finish?
Never.
Is there ever a time where we
go... I thought we were supposed to.
You're finished.
Well, when I was a kid,
it's such a vapid non-answer because he's like, man, every day. Anyway, no examples. Let's move on. Let's keep this ball rolling.
All three of you are finished. There's no more to create. And what I even meant when I said, like, would we personally, have ever started a podcast... If we knew it would turn into Blossom talking to Corey Feldman. It's like, that's what podcasting is. It's like, we don't belong in this. This isn't what we thought it would be.
You're saying never in our wildest dreams do we think we'd become this. Yeah. Blossom and Corey Feldman.
What a dream.
We're in the same market.
Yeah. Would we have invented podcasting all those years ago if we had known that we would have released this podcast onto the world?
To a certain extent, like, I don't know.
And
I thought
be
like
perfect.
Then I'll just like enjoy life. And I'm still waiting.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen. It doesn't. It's a con. Okay, I'll be real with you.
I thought
it's
that's because I'm Jewish.
Right? No,
it's gonna go
sold
Mel Gibson.
To us in a nice little pretty package with a bow on it, and this is the idea we're sold, just like Santa Claus. Hey, one day you're going to be an adult.
Right.
And one day you're going to have all the answers. And one day your life is going to be perfect and you'll be teaching everybody else.
What I love about that's like high talk. That's what you do when you're high. Yeah. When you're like, remember when we were kids, man, and we thought like, adults had it all figured out. Man, we didn't know anything.
I thought my dad was old when he was 30. I'm 32.
That's my secret, Jim. I'm always high as fuck. Corey Feldman. I never been sober a day in my fucking life. Ever since the rape.
Every day, I wake up frazzled, concerned, worried. How do I make it through this day? Or how do I help others? Or how do I help my life? Or
I
my,
wake up frazzled
family?
Like, how do I help others?
Day, I think, as long
he's just
as
running
long
around.
As
start praying.
Breathing.
Whoa.
I got it. I made a very clear choice when I decided to have this child that if I was going to bring a child into the world.
I did edit. Yeah, this is where he's talking about his kid. Yeah, he has a kid named Zen Feldman.
So he's a little dork.
I was going to dedicate those 18 years to make sure I got him right, that I was going to give that kid every bit of love, every bit of support, and every opportunity of freedom,
and every Zanny bar that I have left
to live his life that I never had.
Please, we need $3,000 a month.
I mean, could you have done that not sober?
Absolutely not. No
way. Talk about it.
No way.
Tell us why.
How is it possible?
He's doing the Riz face
now. No, come on.
The reason why I left this in.
Because she's asking him for answers. He's like, come on, you know, you get it. And she's like, no, elaborate. Because
she's like, could you have raised your son if you were if you weren't sober? Which we now, I mean, we've always known he's not sober. But he always pitches this idea he's been sober for 30 years.
Yeah.
But now recently with his ex-wife saying that he dumped her ass because she didn't want to do drugs anymore.
Well, he's Corey Feldman, so he's been sober. Yeah.
But it's great because she's like, well, you know, why wouldn't that have been possible if you weren't sober? And he literally has no answer.
He can't give. He's not getting. He refuses to give
like,
an answer.
Oh shit, you're pushing me.
Because you know you can't. Well, how? Like you know, you get it. We all know.
What? I could raise a kid feeling awesome all the time. I don't think so.
Yeah, let me take it back a little on this.
To live his life that I never had.
It's beautiful.
I mean, could you have done that not sober?
Absolutely not.
Come on.
Talk about it.
No way.
Tell us why.
No.
How is it possible?
Impossible.
You know, come on. If I was still the crazy party kid that was 16 years
Jeff
old.
Jeff and I raised two kids on coke for a couple of years. This stuff's easy.
It turned out great.
Did it help? It maybe even helped.
They're great now. They say stuff like bat.
Yeah, that's true.
Skibbity.
And skibbity toilet.
And I wasn't a bratty kid. I wasn't a stuck-up kid. No. I was a pretty good kid.
See, immediately changes the subject, too, by the way. How could you? Come on. Anyways, I was a good kid.
But I still made bad decisions.
Sure.
Because we just don't know.
Yeah.
You know. And if you don't know, you don't know.
This isn't a vanity comment, but... You look really good. Like you look healthy.
You look like you have no lips. I just want to. This is not a vanity question, but where did your lips go?
You know, like you have beautiful skin. I don't know if people can tell, but like you do. Like you have beautiful skin and
fake sideburns.
It's wild to think because I've never thought that about him before.
That he looks good.
No, yeah, and we've watched his. In his documentary, he has caked on makeup. Yeah, like, no. It's so
he
thick
looks
layers.
Like, he looks like when you're dead and they want you to not look dead, so they put you way too much makeup on. Yeah.
He
and
looks like someone carved his face into a tree.
No, dude, he looks like the face from Legends of the Hidden Temple that tells you how to play the game.
Yeah.
He looks like that.
Yeah. She does look like Jerry Seinfeld. So
I think someone in the chat said that she looks like Austin Powers.
Oh, Gino.
Care of your body. Like, I'm assuming that's part of also your kind of regimen. Like,
I'm a dancer. I mean, you can't kind of be a
dancer.
Did you not take care of yourself? Wow. Yeah. Make it.
I mean,
I do
dancer.
A 3-hour show. I do a 3-hour show. 2.5
Remember the other
three
interview?
3-hour show.
Remember the other interview we watched? Wasn't he saying how his, like, back is killing him and his knees go out?
It's because he's a dancer, Jim.
Yeah, that's true.
He's humble.
Yeah, he is.
It just looks like he's making a lie up every time.
Every night. 5 days a week sometimes.
I mean,
I think you're right, Jeff. I think he starts every sentence with no idea how it's going
to
end.
Get the energy. How do you dance like you're 20 years old? I go into my doctor, and my doctor does the vitals, and they say, you literally have the vitals of a 21-year-old.
They're like, you dance too good. I got to go to the doctor and see why.
I know you're a drug addict for a long time, and you're a broken dancer, but you have the... vitals of a 21-year-old.
How much adrenochrome do you eat? Because you are so young.
I need to fire this fucking nurse. She switched my files. I get, wait a second, this is you?
This is Usain Bolt when he was 18.
This is weird. You have the vitals of a German Shepherd. Oh, wait, shit, wrong chart. Sorry.
Oh, wait, you're broken. You're falling apart. Do you have lungs?
Wow. You know, thank God. But it's because I quit drinking at 18, 19 years old, right?
39, 42, sober.
I quit hard drugs in 19.
Yeah.
I quit cigarettes 12 years ago?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not worthy.
I don't put toxic things into my body. And the big thing is,
no vices.
I haven't had a piece of meat in my body since I was 12 years old. But I do.
I mean, that's where you just insert the rape joke, right?
Big meat.
But I also feel like we could find a video of him eating.
Yeah. Eating dicks.
Got him.
I cheat. I'm not great. I mean, look, I do dairy still. I still eat cheese and eggs and milk from time to time, although I am allergic to milk, so I try to stay away from it.
You're human.
But I'm human. I mess up. I mess up.
That's not how allergies work.
I vape.
Real soy boys are like, oh, yeah, milk. You're allergic to it. You're human.
I just still drink it. I can't help it.
I just love it too much. It's my one vice.
I've got a few little things, but I'm not doing hard drugs, and I'm not drinking booze, and I'm not smoking cigarettes.
I respect them. I like it. But I gave up nicotine 2 years ago, THC. Jeff, can I have your nicotine vape again? Oh, this is good stuff.
You're very Corey-esque
right
now.
This is for Feldman.
Yeah, let's
double
do a Kev cam. Let's see him take a hit of nicotine.
This one's
double barrel.
This one's nicotine, and it makes me spin.
Mode.
Oh, yeah, put it on turbo mode. This
turbo
one's
mode?
THC, and I fake hit it.
They should call it Corey mode.
I can't really hit THC. It'll make me paranoid. Here we go. This is nicotine.
Nicotine hit.
Turbo mode.
Turbo mode's crazy. Turbo mode might make
him ascend. He's ascending.
Like, I almost brought Galaxy Gas.
Can I keep it? No. Here you go. This is, and then this is the shitty THC that's for fucking burnout losers.
Wait, yeah. I thought you weren't going to do it.
I have to.
Oh, okay.
The nicotine makes me feel invincible right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my
well,
God.
You look at Corey.
Oh, let me chug this wine first.
I gave up everything 2 years ago.
You are deep on that wine. You got some White Claws, too.
Can I have Mike's bottle?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just smell it.
Yeah, just smell it a little bit.
Yeah, you should drink two bottles.
I'll give you what's left after I smell it. Here we go. All right, this is the THC, which is for fucking losers. Grow up. This is worse than cocaine.
Don't do what he's doing.
These potheads think they're so fucking normal. You're not. Weed, you're a slave to it. Jim, I used to be addicted. I know. And I used to order it.
But you just got rid of it.
I used to get it on the deep web like Corey. And when I would check the mail every day, and when it wasn't there, I'd be like, another day with my shitty family without drugs. And then the next day, it wouldn't be there. And it was like, you're a slave to it. You're addicted. But anyways, this is for you.
Yeah.
This is for Gino.
This is for past Kevin.
That's just, that's like only in the morning. It's supposed to be like an alarm clock.
I hated this. Take it back.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff. You're the
there
best.
There goes the choach cam. Oh,
I'm
Mike's,
sorry,
Mike. Mike's
sorry.
Gonna, sorry. The smoke's getting
Look
Mike.
At Mike. Mike's going, woo.
Secondhand vape. Uh-oh.
Now duddy up the mic. Cam.
Mike's like Corey. He doesn't want any of this shit.
Yeah. I'm like the real. I'm the thing Corey's pretending to be.
I'm not eating red meat.
You have
actually wait. I want to go back real quick. So if you look on his face, maybe he is telling the truth that he's never done a hard drug like since he was young.
Don't trust him, Jim.
I vape.
Stop.
Right. You know, I've got a few little things.
Here we go. Watch his face.
I'm not doing hard drugs, and I'm not drinking booze. And
Is that the face of an honest man?
Hey, he looks like he's going like this.
It does look like he's kind of like, are they buying it? What do you think? Are they
looks
buy
like
it?
My player mode in 2K.
I'm not smoking cigarettes and I'm not eating red meat.
You have had
that's
a
okay, though.
Very interesting recent
love affair.
Amazing.
It's a love affair
no.
with Jordan.
No,
okay, so yes, even back then, well, this was like what? I guess 2023. They're going to get into the story we know very well at this point, the Jordan Peele story.
Oh, God.
Now, I will say that when I was going through this, I had to eat a little humble pie.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, we're fair on this show. Yes, we do take down Corey every week. But I will say that when we're fair. So I'm just going to say that as we get into some of this story okay. here.
Interesting recent, opportunity to work with, you know, what some people are saying is one of like our great, you know, creators of this time artistically. Tell us about your Jordan Peele experience.
Well, we're not working together yet.
Right.
We're hoping to.
I hope it.
I think that's, I think that's from both sides. He certainly has made certain suggestions that he would like to see that happen. I would like to see that happen. He said he's looking for the right project. We'll see if that happens.
That would be amazing.
But we'll see. But that said, Jordan has some grand fascination with my work and me as an individual, which I am very grateful for. He said that I was, these are his words, not mine, but he said that I was his muse and that he's been using me as his muse for many years.
Love it.
And he said
is that,
that
real?
He incorporated.
Well, there's a little bit more. I might have set my thing up a little early. It's getting there though.
Okay.
Pieces of my work or my film work into his film. So I guess with Nope and with Us,
right?
With all of them, I guess at some point there's Corey Feldman Easter eggs.
This is so
and
cool.
And references, okay?
It's so cool.
So I didn't believe it, really. I thought it was kind of like a put-on, really, when I read it in some interview he did the first time when Us came out.
So he does get into the story we heard last week, the same story about going to the Nope premiere and like taking the picture and texting him and all that, but he expands on it a little bit.
So I kind of mentioned it, and then it was like he went on the talk show, and it was like Corey Feldman, he's great, da da da. And I was like, really? Somebody's saying that? What year is it? So you know, because it's been a while since people of that stature have talked nicely about me in the press. But and then his star, the lead of his movie, comes up, and she's like fawning all over me. She's like, oh my god, I love you, I love your movies, and you don't understand me and my sisters. We all have Goonies tattoos, and then they all show me these Goonies tattoos, and they take a picture, and then like the next night, maybe it's Seth Meyers, and they're all on doing the launch of Nope, and they all say, what was the most exciting part of the premiere?
No.
I swear to God.
No.
Who was the best person that showed up?
Shut up, Blossom.
What was the most exciting part of the evening for you? And they all say Corey Feldman being there.
So I did look it up. I was like, you know what? I want to fact check this.
Sure.
So I pulled up the cast of Nope on Seth Meyers. And let's just say maybe I ate a little humble
pie.
Well,
but here's the thing. Did they say it's because they love his music so much or because they all like Goonies?
I don't think the music comes up. But here is the clip. Just for fair is fair. Here's the clip that he's referring to.
I love this show.
I know a lot of people, obviously, Kiki, come out to this premiere. I heard you met somebody, a celebrity at the premiere that you lost it for.
Honey, I lost it. So I grew up living for the Goonies.
Sure.
I literally have a tattoo with my siblings. Goonies never say die. We literally live for that.
Are you sure I can't say that word, Jim?
Yeah. Not allowed, Kevin.
You used your one.
At the premiere, love, we wigged out. I said, Corey, my man Mouth is in the building. I was so hyped.
Now, I would imagine, give it up for Corey Feldman. Yay. I would imagine he was delighted to have this response from you. Is that safe to say?
Yes, but I feel like, I mean, he knows. Goonies is a classic. I mean, the two Coreys, rest in peace, Corey Haim. I mean, he knows. So he was just like...
He might know, but I bet he didn't go out that night thinking, I'm going to get some real Goonies love.
Get his ass.
But he is a legend for this our generation, as you know. And it is. There's a lot of sort of reference points that make that align this movie with, like, some of the big sort of adventure movies from the 90s and 80s. So he was like, it was key we had that Corey at our.
I better see Nope.
Kiki's. Yes, Nope, a lot like the Goonies.
Didn't realize.
I mean, it's kind of an adventure romp, if you will, although it is like horror-ish. But
isn't it anti-white people? Isn't that the whole movie?
Not a Nope, no.
Not really.
Which one is this anti-white people
Well, Get
movie?
Out is about how, the white people are, they want to take the black bodies.
Yeah, whites are
they want to live forever. Yeah. But so I was down in the dumps when I saw this. I'm not going to lie. I was like, God damn it. He
got
one.
You're really
on me.
Letting this affect you.
But the reason why I'm saying this is because then, all you have to do is give it a couple minutes.
Oh, he just told a big fat lie?
No, he's going to give you a gift where I was fist pumping when this part came.
Okay.
All right.
So let me let it play here.
Like, no, you don't understand. I love Corey Feldman. Wow. Like, he's amazing. And then Jordan's like, yeah, he's really been an inspiration. And they're all talking.
But he's white.
Seth's like, well, how about it for Corey Feldman? All right.
Or a Jew.
It kind of blew him away that everybody was talking. Okay, so that happened. I was kind of like, okay, what's this about? And then, you know, I figured, you know, it was my wife's idea. I got to give her credit. She says, you need to show Jordan the birthday.
It was Courtney's idea all along, baby.
Oh, my God.
Corey never would have even done it.
It was Courtney's idea.
Now, persona non grata in the Feldman household, Courtney Feldman, actually is the genius behind the birthday getting its re-release right now.
Unofficial fourth mic to Jim and them, Courtney Feldman.
Which is huge. Now, Kevin, I don't know if you understand because his wife, they got a divorce about a year ago, and he's been going on tour. He went on the music tour, but he's been touring with this 20-year-old movie, and he's always telling the story about how Jordan Peele loves him. And the way he tells it now is that Jordan Peele was like, what's that one thing that got away? What's that one project that you wish became a thing? And he was like, the birthday. It was just a classic movie. And then recently, he's denying his wife, like, she has $20,000 in medical bills. She's working as a baker in Canada somewhere because he keeps telling her he's broke. But now we're hearing this new insight.
The only reason that it even happened was because she said talk to him about
it. Was her idea. I mean, let's go back to what he says from his own mouth.
Wow. You did eat crow.
Yeah, I did.
This is crazy.
You know, I figured
and Courtney baked
my wife's, it was my wife's idea. I got to give her credit. She says,
yeah. Oh, my wife's idea. Got to give her credit.
Got to give her credit. That doesn't work.
Wife,
that doesn't
it was
work
my wife's idea.
Favor,
I got to give her credit. She says, you need to show Jordan the birthday. And I said, why? And she goes, because it's a brilliant piece of work and nobody in America has gotten to see it. And he needs to see that movie. And I said, okay.
Well, he also
goes,
really
so
implied that, like,
if you can send him a
Jordan
copy.
Was a fan of it. Like,
yes.
Not quite independent of him, but it was that's one of those, like Italian Giallo classics or, like, some hidden gem or some B-movie that, like, has created, is a cult classic. And Jordan Peele's, like, got his finger on the pulse, so he's heard of the birthday. But he's like, he's basically saying like, oh, Jordan Peele didn't know shit about this fucking thing. And then my wife made me show him, and then he kind of liked it.
Even when she told him, he's like, why? Yeah, why would I show him that? She should get a goddamn producer credit. Whatever money's coming in should go in her pocket.
Or set up a screening for him. Even better. So, okay,
fine. Whatever, Courtney.
I said, you know, I got this movie I'd like you to see. So it took about a month and a half to get it set up, but they came over to my house.
Oh, my
Jordan
gosh.
And his producer, Ian from Monkey Paw. Great guy, by the way. And Jordan and Ian came over to my house on a Tuesday afternoon.
Like you do.
And you're right. And I, you know, closed all the blinds and put up the big screen and just 5.1 sound. And I played them this movie that has never been released in America. And it's my finest, proudest work.
Wait, and this is only a year ago, right?
Everybody to see.
Yeah, yeah.
7.1's been around for like 5 years. So 5.1, I got that in my fucking $100 headphones.
Yeah, but his wires are in the wall.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, okay. In wall speakers.
Yeah, they're like
in
the ceiling. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Actor Corey doing what he does.
Oh, you could invite us over and we could watch it.
Well, fine. You guys will come
next. I was going to say, next
settle
Tuesday.
Down,
actually,
Blossom.
Well,
yeah, relax.
All that wasn't big enough or crazy enough. Here's the craziest part of the story. So I had this prosthetic ear.
I'm gay.
From Stand By Me.
Yeah, and he's talking about the goddamn ear again. He's always talking about the ear.
Oh, my God, yes.
Wow.
We love the ear. We've been trying to buy one. He was selling these ears, but he took them off his store.
I wanted to make a fake one, and then we were going to sell them so he couldn't sell his anymore.
Okay, yeah, because everybody's got one, right? No, but now they do because I started selling them. But anyway, so I had this prosthetic ear that I wore in Stand By Me.
Right.
It was my character ear, burn ear, blah, blah, blah. Stand By Me. He says, it's a big film of mine, my favorite film. I love it so much. And I say, great. And he says, so much. And if you don't believe what a big fan I am of yours, then how about this one? The ear is on my desk.
Stop it.
And I said, wait a minute. Hold on. We did a giant auction. The auction got hacked because...
Everything if you're keeping track, everything this guy does gets hacked somehow.
Gets by hacked or stolen or derailed.
When
or...
in reality, he never puts in enough effort or money into setting anything up and it just crashes. And he's like, oh, my God, we're getting hacked. The Wolfpack alert. They're hacking in real time.
Because I was trying to raise money for cancer patients. I did this giant auction for abused children and cancer patients.
It just so happened to be both. He can't figure out which one. Yeah. We did this. It was for cancer patients, abused children.
You know,
that's me.
You know that charity 50, that
guys.
Does both?
We you know, 50-50.
Technically me. I'm both. I've had cancer once.
I'm going to give the money away. And then these mofos that have been targeting me and harassing me ever since my film premiered. Every time I do something online, they infect it and they shut it down or they poison it some way. So they froze the bid button for 24 hours so we couldn't raise the roof on the price.
Classic
and
virus.
And it got stuck at a very low number and I was pissed.
He doesn't know how things work.
Oh, it got stuck at a very low number. Yeah.
We're not getting any bids. It must be hacked.
He talks about hacking like you see hacking in movies, like children's movies, where someone's like using their phone to like listen to somebody else's phone call by hacking it.
He does that bid thing where you just bid like 5 cents more, it immediately works. It's like, it only works for small
ones. It only works from my IP for some reason.
I didn't even want to sell it. I was like, we shouldn't make that authentic. But I found out who got this amazing deal and this ultra low price.
No.
And I'm not saying or inferring that he might have rigged it for that.
Sure.
He should have gone for more money, and he's furious about it.
It just so happened, Jordan Peele got his bid in before the thing got hacked.
The time and saw that it was done. But I promise. No.
That's
he didn't.
Breaking
news here, Jordan Peele has an army of hackers.
No, I'm not implying that at all.
But there is an army of hackers after me.
Please don't confuse the point here.
I know you're making it a joke, but there's literally...
Don't mix up Jordan Peele, a real man, with the army of hackers that actually exist.
To the auction,
they tried
the
to
right
murder me
and saw what the price was and said, "This is a great deal." So therefore, I'm going to make a bid. Apparently, unbeknownst to me, when I saw the claim ticket and the winning name, it was not Jordan Peele. It was like Clive Jones or something. I don't know whoever the guy was on there. But according to Mr. Peele, he was the guy who bought it under a fictitious
name. Amazing.
And it is literally my ear from Stand By Me is sitting on his desk in his office somewhere. I've not been there, but that's the story. Corey Feldman, I'm sticking to it.
You win. I don't know what you win, but either. You win.
How is that the reaction to that story?
Yeah, no.
You win.
Wow.
You win. Your show loses.
Wait. Hacked. So you're telling me a guy bought a prop? You win. I don't know what it is, but you win.
Yeah, you are epic bacon, Corey.
I just let you on my show to tell a 3-minute story of a fake hacking. You win.
That's five booms. That's five booms from me.
Thank you.
And yeah, that's pretty much all I got from it, I think.
Cool to talk to you. And thank you.
Nightmare.
Thank you not just for sharing with us, but just for all the good that you put out in the world.
Yeah, all the good. He's always just putting good stuff out. That's the thing that I always bring this up, but because now we get comments on our commentaries. And most people are like in on the goof, having fun, but some people are like, "Leave him alone. He's not hurting anyone." It's like, no, he is. Yeah, you don't understand. He is.
Hurts a bunch of people all the time.
Yeah, he's constantly hurting people, and he's hurting me. You know what? Yeah. He's annoying me. And I'm not gonna stop. We won't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop.
I'm being abused.
But yeah, there we go. I mean, I guess that's kind of a part one there. I do want to, we're going to be coming back with part two. I want to hear about this Camino.
Oh, you guys are in for it.
Santiago?
We're all going to go soul searching. I'm just the vessel.
So. Yes. Oh, okay.
Big trip coming up. You won't believe it.
Exciting.
Okay.
Let me find something to play for break here, though. Actually, we should watch some of the box set. The box set video. Coverage.
Box set video is so funny.
Where the hell is it?
Yeah, where the fuck is it?
Where the fucking shit?
Where's my box at?
We've got too many Corey videos
now.
We
have so many. Oh, here it is. One second.
I love you.
Yeah, all. Yeah, what do we have here?
Oh yeah, this is where it comes with the goddamn.
Am I in this one?
Goodbye, drumming grandma.
Oh yeah, yeah. We CG'd you in. You're in there.
I killed it.
Why can't I find it for the? Oh, here we go.
Wah.
All right. Yeah, we'll be back.
Obama. Oh.
This is the face of a classic grifter. Know the term and identify these types from this to extra low level.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, I do like to call him the gift that keeps on grifting. That's Corey Feldman. but yeah, we'll be back. Stick around.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see all the people. Look, a Hershey's Kiss is in
for
there.
For all of you.
What
no
the
way.
What the fuck?
No way.
What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
What's this, circus penis?
They put a Hershey's Kiss in there? Yeah. You know how the Beatles always put out the box set that comes with a Nestle Crunch bar in there?
Yeah, what if it melts and it ruins the DVDs?
Yeah. He's
rocking out. Yeah, what's he doing?
Hi, everybody. Yes, that's right. The hearts are back. The hearts are back. Why? Because today is the great unveiling. Dun, dun, dun. Here we are at 2:02 p.m. exactly on the West Coast. Pacific Standard Time, ladies and gentlemen, it's finally here. It's finally here. The Love Left 2.1 box set has arrived.
Love left, yeah.
The moment is upon us. My first new album in 7 years has landed in
his quote new album.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's you can't call that a new album, bro.
Big giant box, and it's a beautiful box. Hi everybody. Let's see who's there. We've got Kia. Hi Kia. How are you? We've got Maddie Founds has Lost Boys Legend. Okay, thank you. We appreciate you.
Well, okay, we're talking about Love
Dead. What's up, Ledead? How's it going? Good to see you here. Let's see who else we recognize. There's lots of people already.
This no, there's not.
Fast.
No, there's not.
High Priestess. I think that's Brittany, but I'm not sure if it is High
Brittany Spears, of course.
How are you, VCR
we got
World?
John Hamm here.
Holly Go Frightly.
Paul Rudd. I think that's Paul Rudd.
Looks like we have Chris Evans and the bad Chris as well, Chris Pratt.
And we've got VCR World, Chris Pratt.
All the Eternals are here. The weird kid that eats spaghetti.
Yeah, we got Spaghetti Kid. We got Selma Hayek.
Hi, Corey from Italy. Fede Bene. Fede Bene. How are you?
Fede Bene.
Fede cheese.
Fede Bene.
Like my mama's
okay, so,
Fede Bene.
Let's see.
It's so delicious.
The Split Ink.
Let's see.
The Split Ink. You rock. Thank you. I appreciate you. Hi, everybody.
He's
just
calling out the real ones. That's what you do.
Yeah, he's doing what we do. He stole this from us.
There's a lot of you joining on here. We're really excited.
He looks slightly better than normal. You're right.
He washed his hair.
Well, he rolled out of bed. He's in his gold jammies.
And you're going to get a sneak preview.
He put on some lip gloss so it looks like he has lips.
This bad boy.
He's got a full eight ball in front of him. He doesn't have to start panicking yet.
I'm sure we've made this comment a million times, but he looks like a person wearing a Corey mask.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like Corey Feldman.
He looks like if Thanos dressed up like Davey Havoc for Halloween.
It's Drive Mask Corey.
And it features Curtis Young.
He looks like the witch mask from Halloween 2.
If you don't, you're going to find out. So much excitement. So much excitement. I can't wait. So let's get started. All right. First of all, you guys have seen the box by now. Surely you've seen the box by now.
Show us what's inside.
This is the box. That's right. This is the Love Left 2.1 box set. It is available right now on sale. Yeah. On sale, guys. So when it originally came out at $275. That's the normal asking price. Then we add, if you want to get it autographed, you got to throw on $100. So it's like $375.
Dude, he announced this thing over a year ago.
Yeah.
Because I remember we were commenting on how he added. It was actually like probably summer 2020 because it was while the like protests and stuff were going on. Because he just added like a protester holding an "I Can't Breathe" breathe sign to his box cover for no reason.
Yeah,
had, just like, to already, make it seem like he was a part of it or whatever.
They like already printed a million boxes. And like no,
out the door. But today we are doing a opening day sale, and it's going to go on for 10 days.
You know how they always do 10 day opening day sales when something's selling well.
Okay, so we'll make sure to. Extra shipping to make sure people...
Oh, by the way, shipping costs $60.
Yeah, we are paying.
Yeah. What?
So he's full of shit. Yeah, because I looked it up the day, because I think Jam Swilson in the Piss Court how it was on sale for $222.
Dude, that's fucking insane.
And I saw comments on his Twitter like, wow, that shipping's expensive. I was like, oh, how much is it? So I did like a fake order. I'm like, oh, $60. Well, he's got to make some of that sale back shipping.
He sends 60? All of them in a Christmas Story crate they need to crowbar open and rip all the hay out of.
A major award.
Like boxes, a sarcophagus from fucking Indiana Jones.
It's very, the big 22. That's right. Isn't that cool? It's the year of 22. What could possibly go wrong? Anyway, we've heard that one before, right? Caroline Mott.
The first thing to go wrong, this stupid box set arriving at people's doors.
You're buying one now. God bless you. If you buy one right now and the order comes through while we're live, I will thank you live and make sure to send you a
special. It's a shame you won't be able to thank anyone live.
The internet, even though I can't be there with you in person. But some people will be there in person because we are doing a little special private party tonight for those who worked on the album. 10 day sale. We are giving the box away signed for $222. Signed. That's $150 savings to get a signed box.
There is a point towards the end where he mentioned, because the other thing they're trying to push it more now is they're like, we're only gonna do 500 of these. So they're trying to be like, oh, get it now before they sell out or whatever.
500?
But then towards the end, he even says like, he's like, yeah, there's only going to be 500 of these, you know, unless, I mean, if we sold like 500 so quick, maybe we'd do another pressing. I mean,
that's not how you sell it.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay. So right in here,
he would sell 500 and press like 2,000.
Well, and that's him telling on himself because he's like, clearly no one's buying these fucking things. He just wants, he's like, shit, we ordered 500. Fuck.
Box. And see what we got in here. So, dun-dun-dun, the big unveiling, here it is. All right, that's the best way to do this.
500 of those, that's like $500.
Oh, no, could we have just gotten the QR code a second ago?
Dude, what if it's like a popcorn thing and his dick's inside? That's why he has it on his lap, his cock's inside.
It's so hard to get it off.
Hey, look, it's hologram Corey, my dick.
Dude, he's cracking me up.
I love that he was having a hard time opening it, now he's pretending like it's a bit.
I have to change angles. There it is.
He's got no pants on. Whoop, dick's out.
Dun, dun, dun. Look at that.
Look at like shit.
Box.
Bunch of cheap shit.
Yeah, a bunch of garbage.
Yes, nice.
Sunglasses?
Yeah, it comes with sunglasses.
What do we have here?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see all the people. Oh, look, a Hershey's
kiss
is in
for
there.
For all of you.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
No way.
What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. What's this, circus penis?
They put a Hershey's Kiss in there. That's like the cheapest fucking garbage.
It's like if you like donate to like a school charity and they're like, here's some fucking candy that
hold on, that was a hug.
Dude, I've gotten like Walmart grocery delivery before, and sometimes they'll put a little like Walmart thing in there that comes with coupons. And yeah, there was like a bite-sized Snickers and I thought that was an insult for my stupid.
Melt all of your fucking glasses.
But never mind. In your fucking your album box set, you know how the Beatles always put out the box set that comes with a Nestle Crunch bar in there.
Yeah, what if it melts and it ruins the DVDs?
At least put a Godiva chocolate dome in there.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's a box of love without a nice kiss. Not everybody gets one, but.
Not everybody
gets
one. That's
the great thing about the 2.1 Love Left box set, which is that every box has a little something different. Making it an extra collector's item.
Oh, yeah. Bro, it's like when it's someone's birthday and you forgot, and you're like, shit, you're looking around your room like, what could I give them in my life?
Throwing shit in the boxes.
Actually, only 2 out of 500 came with those strawberry candies with the goo in them.
Someone just gets a Bic pen and you're like, what?
This one came with a thumbtack.
I got a rock.
Mine is a Band-Aid.
Certain boxes have certain stickers. Certain ones have, you know, Hershey's Kisses. We have different colored Hershey's Kisses. It's just like really a cool little novelty thing, which is that each person
doing,
you know, each person that opens their box, they're going to get their box open, then they're going to find a surprise. And whether that surprise is like a special sticker that nobody else has.
This one has a 30-year-old ecto-cooler pouch.
Or a different color of the same sticker, or a different color of the Hershey Kiss, or maybe you don't get a Hershey's Kiss at all.
Spider's egg.
You get a pencil that was near me.
Dude, he's really promoting different color Hershey. He's just leftover Christmas candy that he had.
He literally is struggling to come up with any example other than a sticker or a Hershey's Kiss.
This is fucking insane. This is a joke we would say that he put in there. What do we have here? Oh, a little Hershey's Kiss. This one has an almond in it.
Like, this isn't even like a fucking loot crate where it's like garbage merch. It's like literally like trash that was near him.
And it's not
like he went to the grocery store or the dollar store and just like threw crap in there.
Because it's not like, you know, because I already think it's fucking cornball. You go to Universal Studios sometimes and they'll have like Universal Monsters chocolate bars or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not even, at least that I would understand. It's like, oh, this is a Corey Feldman chocolate or something.
Yeah, at least he paid Zazzle $7 to put his logo on a wrapper.
To make some